Vega.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again.
Oh,
time for Ron, winemaker, cellar master, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes. So dim Florida. The lights, pull up a chair, or better yet, enjoy the company of that special someone who's staring back at you from the couch. Sit back and relax. Enjoy a tall glass of wine, carefully prepared right here in Florida. Chat with us online, call the show, and talk to Ron. By phone, dial area code 646-727-3235. Or to call from your computer for free, go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/ChicoDog and press the click to call button. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida and Florida Estates Winery, Ron.
Yeah. Here he is. And he's with us.
Really here. Really here live.
That's amazing.
All of you people who have listened for the last couple of weeks, this really is me. You know, we're not late. We're on time. Everything's set to go.
Yeah, I don't know what to do now. I had all these backup plans going, and, you know. So, actually, I had episode 17 waiting to go, but this will work.
Your notes and everything, yeah.
Yes, and ready to discuss whatever you have in store for us. So, anyway, Ron is with us on the phone, or actually on the air phone. And he's with Florida Estates Winery, Land O'Lakes, Florida, at 25241 State Road 52, which is 4 miles west of Interstate I-75. That is exit 285. So you're on Interstate 75, and definitely want to visit the winery off of exit 285 at State Road 52. Go west about 4 miles. And we'll give you the website information, phone numbers, contact, email, everything coming up, and we'll just keep announcing that. But we have a program, and it's on time. So let's we can go on with it. This is great. Great to have you.
We're actually here. We're actually talking live.
Yes.
So all you people out there, you can call in and talk to us now. We don't have to worry about trying to get online. Or
yes.
I don't have the IM set up here in front of me. So if we do get anything, Mike, you're going to have to take care of it and relay the questions. So.
Okay. No problem.
But just a couple of things. One, the winery is now on Facebook. We are listening. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. It's our studio audience.
Yeah, I know. I hope they all have wine. We're on Facebook. Just a fun little thing. Just let you know what's going on at the winery and all that. I put entries in, you know, every day or every couple of days. Let you know what's happening out there and all. And keeping you up, we're looking for input from anyone out there who wants to make any comments or anything to us or has any questions. We can always go through Facebook and answer your questions, talk about that too. And so, you know, it's something new. We also would love to have you join us it's called a fan of the winery. So you can always go on Facebook and become a fan, and we'd love to see you join the list and all that. So I look forward to anyone and everyone signing up on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a festival this Saturday. Hopefully the rains are going to hold off until the afternoon. We have quite a few vendors set up where Angelo Cook is our musician. Angelo does a great job. He's always a real crowd pleaser, does an excellent job. We got a bunch of different vendors from previous attendees and two or three new ones. Wine is all available. We'll be doing wine tastings throughout the day. So it's a good day. Come on out. School's out now, or school will be out, I think, like in 4 days or something. And so the kids are going to be home all summer, so you need to come out and get stocked up on your wine because the kids are going to be home. I know how that works. So, I'd love to see all of you come out. Bring the kids out, too, if you don't have anything to do with them. You know, they can come out. They can run around the back. We have a kids' corner set up at the winery for the younger ones. They can sit over there and color and do stuff so you're not disturbed while you're tasting wine. And we got a big yard there. They can go out and wander around the yard. Bring your pet out. We are pet-friendly, so we would love to have you bring your pet out, too, so the kids can go out and walk around with the dog or the cat or the goat or the hamster, whatever you have.
Yeah, take your hamster to the winery and walk them around.
And then walk it around. Yeah. So, you know, bring your pets out. We'd love to have you come out. Bring your pets out.
Excellent.
So I'm going to, you know, bring out a few different things like this. A lot of people are always coming in talking about glasses, or not glasses, bottles, bottle sizes. I always like to bring up some things about bottle sizes. A lot of we have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available. The most common one that we see all the time is the regular bottle. That's 750 milliliter. The bottles that we use now, the standard size of 750 milliliter, is a rather new size, standard size. Up till the mid-1930s, there was no standard on bottle size. Everyone was using different sizes, and there was a variety of different types of bottles and everything, but there was no standard size. And about the mid-30s is when they came out with the standard size for a bottle of being right around 750 milliliters. Again, we're talking metric here. 750 milliliters. A liter is less than a, it takes approximately 4 liters to make a gallon. That's still not quite a gallon. It's a gallon is 3,780 milliliters.
Mm.
So 4 liters is going to put you over a gallon by about 200 milliliters. So a gallon, which is the standard here, and everyone in the world uses metric except for us. I think there's a couple of other countries that are still on the systems that we have, but almost everybody in the world uses metric. So when we're talking wine, most of the time we are referring to liters, milliliters, and that type of measures. A milliliter is simply a hundredth of a liter. 1 milliliter is 1/100th of a liter. So 10 milliliters would be 1/10th of a liter, and it's just, you know, your basic, like money, like dollars, which is a metric system. So the bottles, the standard bottle, 750 milliliters. There are smaller bottles and there are larger bottles. The most common one that we probably are used to that we see as a smaller bottle is the half liter or the 375 milliliter. That is used a lot, refers to as a half bottle. A lot of people call it a half bottle. It's very convenient to get the smaller ones if you're a single person. The wines can be consumed a little bit easier that way, or if you would, well, very expensive bottles, a lot of your high-end wines, your German Eiswines and Sauternes and very expensive wines you can find a lot of times in half bottles. That helps defray the cost of a full bottle. Half bottles, or they're called half bottles, or called pony bottles sometimes. They're called a fillet, which is a European term, fillet means little girl. It's just another term for a bottle or a half bottle. But 375 milliliter bottles are used quite often to, like I say, for smaller amounts. They don't age as well. And when you have a bottle that's 375 milliliter, if you have a wine that will age, say, for 10 years in your liter or in your 750 milliliter bottle, the 375 milliliter will only probably age by maybe 3-4 years. It's not going to give you the time of aging. So when you do get yourself a smaller bottle, it's best to look at drinking it reasonably soon and not trying to push aging on it, because it could go bad a lot quicker than what you would think it would. There's also a half of the pony bottle, or the 375 milliliter. Also called a pony, which is probably the most common one that people think of a pony bottle. It's 187 milliliter. It's one quarter of a regular 750 milliliter bottle, and it's a new world term. It's used basically in the United States and Australia and stuff like that. You're not going to find a 187 milliliter bottle in Europe as much as you will in the United States, and they're still not that common, not that often used, but they are available. There is a 500 milliliter bottle used in Bordeaux quite a bit. That's two-thirds of a 750 milliliter. Used in the Bordeaux region, 500 milliliter. The name of it is a POT, P-O-T. It's for Bordeaux region of France, different red wines coming out of Bordeaux. There is the Imperial Pint, which is 588 milliliters. It's used for champagnes in the Burgundy and Rhone regions of France. You don't see those very often. In fact, a lot of these odd sizes are very rare unless you actually go over there. And they're used for samples and, quick tastings and things.
Okay.
The bottle, again, 750 milliliter, sometimes referred to as a fifth. That's more often used in whiskey than anything. You get a fifth of whiskey, that's 750 milliliter. A bottle of whiskey usually comes in a liter size. If you're going to get yourself rum or vodka or anything, it's used in liter size. Speaking of vodka, I'm going to step off a little bit into another subject here. The big thing now I'm reading in my trade journals and I've heard on the radio and stuff, the big thing now is bacon vodka.
Bacon?
Bacon vodka. It's very popular up in the Seattle area. Bacon vodka. And some places are making a bacon vodka, and then they're laying a strip of bacon across the glass as it's served to you. And bacon cocktails. There's different cocktails that are made with bacon-infused flavors in it. And some cocktails are being used as a... with little chips, a little bacon put in the blender with it and blended in with the cocktails and stuff like that. The bacon is becoming very, very popular in cocktails. I thought that was quite interesting, and I also want to bring up the point that I guarantee you at this time I will never, ever make a bacon wine. So, everyone is safe. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, bacon. Can you imagine?
No.
But it's popular. I mean, bacon vodka is very, very popular. But no, I will not make a bacon wine. You will never see it on my
great stuff. Excellent.
I need to take a sip of wine while I do that. So one second, please.
Oh, sure. I already had mine.
Now, after the liter bottle, or I'm sorry, the 750 liter bottle, next size up is the Magnum. The Magnum is the larger bottles, the next larger bottle that you see, you can find them in liquor stores and wine shops. The Magnum is really pretty popular. It's double the 750 milliliter size.
Wow.
It will hold two of the 750 milliliters. It's 1.5 liters, which, double 750, give you 1.5. Mm-hmm. It's used a lot for champagne bottles, Bordeaux, Burgundy bottles. It's, if a 750 milliliter wine is going to age for 10 years. If you put it in a Magnum, it's not going to just double the length of time. It'll probably double in a half. It'll probably go 24, 25 years. Because the bigger the bottle is, the longer it will take for wine to age. It's just the smaller, the slower. So as we get on up to these larger bottles, it starts increasing the time that you can actually age them. A lot of people come to the winery and ask about wines. They say, what about these wines that are, they find that are a couple hundred years old and stuff? Or, for example, the Jefferson wines. A few years ago, Thomas Jefferson's estate, they found a cellar with a bunch of wines in it.
Oh, wow.
And people were asking if these were still good. Yes, they probably were. A lot of those were the Magnum bottles. They were not the 750 milliliter. A lot of those that were found were Magnum bottles. And the wines were good Bordeaux, good Burgundies, French wines that were made to be aged for many, many years. And then Jefferson got the Magnum bottles, put them into his cellar in a very cool temperature, and they weren't disturbed. And so, yes, they probably were still good after all those years. But the Magnum will take longer to age, which is, you know, if you're aging some wines, it's a good thing. But a Magnum will also cost you a lot more, too. Not double the 750 so much, but figure pretty close to doubling the 750 on your price.
Okay.
Then there's another bottle, Marie Jean, or the Marie Jeannie bottle, which is a 2.25-liter bottle. It holds approximately 3 750 bottles, 3 standard bottles. This was named after a lady from Bordeaux who lived in the mid-1700s, 1735 to 1786, Marie Jean Ozan. She was a Bordeaux woman, and the bottle was named after her. You won't see that size much anywhere, but it is out there once in a while. Double Magnum. This is four standard bottles, or 3.0 liters. You take 750 four times, you're looking at 3.0 liters. It's called a Double Magnum. You can find a lot of these wine in a box packages that are Double Magnum size. Red Truck, not to give an advertisement for Red Truck wine, but Red Truck just came out with a new 3-liter barrel, what they call a barrel, which is a little round barrel. It's brown, and it's a little metal barrel, and it's got the bag inside and all that. And it's supposed to look like a little wine barrel, and it holds 4 bottles, or approximately the Double Magnum size. So most of your wine in a box that you get, it'll state right on it, this will the equivalent to buying 4 bottles of wine. And this is your Double Magnum. This is used to be called Double Magnum. Now it's basically wine in a box. Most of your wine in a boxes are that size. So it's originally from Bordeaux, and it's a good size for the wine in the box. It's much bigger. They do make, for the wines as we're getting up in Double Magnums and higher, they do make special racks, special pours for it. It's a metal pour thing that you can put in it. You can actually tilt the wine so you're not having to hold the bottle while you're pouring yourself a glass of wine. It's just a little metal swing type thing. You put wine in and it just swings down so you can pour your wine and it sets back up.
Aren't,
so because of the size of them.
Aren't these, aren't the Double Magnum, the wine in the box, aren't they enclosed in like a plastic or something with a plastic nozzle on them? Is that the same one?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Which is good. I mean, you know, if you're looking at having a bottle of wine every night, the wine in the box is a good way to do it. Coming out with some fairly decent ones. In fact, Red Truck is a real nice red wine. I mean, it's a very pleasant red wine. But if you're looking at having a bottle of wine every night, and you don't think you're going a glass of wine. I said bottle. Sorry, I was just corrected by my audience.
the critics.
Yeah, there's always some.
Does the plastic affect the aging or anything? Or I mean, is it's perfectly all right, just like a glass bottle?
They're not made to age, really. The wines in a box aren't really good, are made to age. They're made to be drank. The wines that you're going to find in those usually aren't wines that you're going to age. Those are the wines that you're going to open up and enjoy a glass every night until it's gone. Okay. And the bladder inside or the bag inside that you were talking about, I like to compare it to baby bottles.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's familiar with baby bottles, how the little baggie inside collapses around it. It's a baby sucking it, so the baby's not pulling in a bunch of air and getting all colicky. Yeah, that's the word. It keeps them,
that works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. So with the bladder around the wine inside, it works the same way. It keeps the air away from the wine, and so it helps the wine taste just as good from the first sip to the last drop. So this is one of the good things about wine in the box or something. I have nothing wrong with wine in the box. I'm not such a snob that I see anything wrong with it. There are some drinkable, decent wine in the boxes out there. And if you're looking at entertaining, and you can go out and get a wine in a box and put it in other bottles, and most of the time people won't know the difference. So,
okay.
I didn't say that, though. If anybody asked, I didn't say that. So, double magnum, 3 liters. Also a Jeroboam. Jeroboam is another term for double magnums. It's 3 liters also. It holds 4 bottles. Usually used for sparkling wines. A Jeroboam is a sparkling wine or champagne-style wines that you'll find in those. It was named after the king of Israel during Rome founding. Jeroboam II founded Rome in 1753 B.C., and so this named after him because of they did. And I'll go on a little bit about naming wines after biblical characters here in a little bit. But the Jeroboam is used for sparkling wines. Now, they also have a Jeroboam that is used for still wines. It's 4.5 liters, or it holds 6 bottles of wine. And then there's a Jeroboam that's in the United States. You can find Jeroboam bottles here in the United States. It's probably the biggest one that you will see in stores, in wine shops, different liquor stores. They some of them have a big bottle, a big Jeroboam sitting over there that they, a lot of times it's for show, but they are for sale. And you can find those in wine shops and wine stores around the country. And it's 5 liters of wine, or 6.7 of the bottles. It's they're big bottles, and you got to be careful hauling them around and stuff like that. But a lot of times they're more for show than they're anything. But you can actually, if you're looking at getting a great big bottle, and instead of dropping your pennies into a milk jug, and you drop them into a wine bottle. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The Jeroboam is a lot of times used for champagne and for red wines, Burgundies and Bordeaux or red California wines and stuff. You'll find it used quite often for that. The Rehoboam is the next one. This was also named after an ancient biblical character, son of Solomon. The Rehoboam became king of Judah in 933 B.C. So we have a 4.5 liters or 6 bottles worth of wine in the Rehoboam. The Imperial is 6 liters of wine. It holds 8 standard bottles. The red wines of the New World, Champagne, Burgundy, and stuff like that. A lot of New World wines. I refer to New World as United States and Australia, New Zealand. These are classified as New World wines as opposed to Old World wines, which is typically referred to as France, Germany, Italy, European wines. The Methuselah. Methuselah was... Methuselah was named after a patriarch, a man in the Old Testament who was described as living for 969 years. The Methuselah wine bottle is 6 liters or 8 bottles of wine. It's a rather large one, and most of the time that's about the largest you're going to see anywhere. Methuselah is a quite large bottle, and that if you might see those sitting around every once in a while in different stores and stuff. That's probably about the largest you're going to run across.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Salamander, or Salamander, it's with a Z or an S at the end. That's 9 liters of wine, or it holds approximately 12 bottles of regular wine, or which is a case of wine in one bottle.
God.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah. Although you don't have the weight of all the bottles.
I guess not.
Yeah, a case of wine, too, by the way, for those of you who want to exercise a little bit, a case of wine weighs approximately 34 pounds.
Mm.
That's the wine in the bottles and the bottles, approximately 34 pounds. So. But the Salamander was a monarch who reigned around 1250 B.C. That's where the name came from. The Balthazar. A Balthazar is 12 liters or 16 bottles, standard bottles Again, quite large bottle. You get these things, and if you're going to age these are aged for centuries. I mean, you're saving this for your great-great-great-grandchildren and stuff. Balthazar is a name of one of three wise men. That's the most common reference to Balthazar, as one of the wise men. Next one is 15 liters, holds 20 bottles, is called the Nebuchadnezzar. The Nebuchadnezzar is a king of the Chaldean Empire, I believe that's how it's pronounced, Chaldean Empire of 604 BC. He was actually the second Nebuchadnezzar. The first Nebuchadnezzar ruled 500 years before him, but he wasn't popular and nobody liked him. So the second Nebuchadnezzar became much more popular. Normally used for champagne, Bordeaux, Burgundy, red wines. Most of the time you won't find white wines put in the larger bottles. It's a rarity, but sometimes you will. But most of the time when you get into the larger bottles, it is for red wines or champagne. Champagne's quite often used in the large bottles. Malacor, 18 liters or 24 bottles. You're looking at two cases of wine in this bottle, the Malacor. Malacor is, again, a name of one of the three wise men. And the third wise man I mentioned, Balthazar, and the third wise man is Gaspar. So we have wines made after two of the wise men. And the last one, you fill with champagne, Bordeaux, Burgundy. Again, you're looking at red wines. Whopping 25.5 liters, 34 bottles of Sauvignon. The Sauvignon is enormous. That's your largest bottle you're going to find with any type of wine in it. Different types of bottles just for different occasions and stuff like this. Again, a lot of these have been rather recent. I mean, the quality. While I'm talking about bottles, too, I want to point out something about the punk. The punk is that indentation on the bottle, on the bottom of the bottle. The punk originally was used to strengthen the bottle. Bottles were a little bit weaker, and by putting the punk in there, or putting that indentation, it gave more strength to the bottle, so it was easier to, or less likely to break or shatter. Also, the punk is used for turning the bottles. Champagne bottles are famous for having their punk. The champagne, a method of fermentation in the champagne is to put the champagne bottles into racks where the champagne bottle is sitting at about a 30-degree angle, neck down at a 30-degree angle. Rows and rows and rows of these racks are in some of the champagne houses in France. And if you let the bottles, if you let the bottle set without turning it, then it starts to build up a sediment along the bottom of the bottle. And the sediment could discolor or just leave a mark there. So these have to be turned a quarter of a turn every once in a while so that the sediment doesn't settle in one spot and so that it continues to ferment properly and all that. So they have people who are called riddlers, R-I-D-D-L-E-R-S, riddlers. These people, men and women, go through and actually turn the champagne bottles a quarter of a turn in these racks. Now, these racks are, you know, hundreds of feet long in the storage, and they go 6 feet tall, and all these champagne bottles there. They don't just turn one and then turn the next. They such an experience that they can actually go through, and it sounds like a riddling sound, like a as they're turning this. It's just so fast and so efficient. But the way they do it is they put their thumb in the punk or in the hole in the bottom, and their fingers on the outside, and just a quick twist, a quick little turn, and it turns the bottles. And so the punk or the hole or the indentation in the bottom of the champagne bottles is used quite often for the bottles to be turned. It's easier to grab them, easier to turn them that way. So that's the punk in the bottle. Also, on the neck of a wine bottle, and you'll find a little up toward the top of the neck, you'll find how the neck flares out a little bit before it gets to the top. That was originally used to closures on bottles and stuff. They would not always have corks available, and they'd have different closures, so they would put whatever over the top of it, cloth, leather, whatever, and they would tie it around the neck of the bottle. And that little lip on it kept the tie from sliding off the top of the bottle. And so it's basically tradition. It serves no purpose now for anything. Basically tradition, but that's why that little lip is at the top of the wine bottle. I mentioned a lot of these names of biblical characters, biblical names in it. The earliest reported or earliest recorded bottle being named after a biblical name was in 1725 when Bordeaux made a bottle that was big enough to hold four standard-sized bottles, and they named it the Jeroboam, who, again, I refer back, was the founder of Israel, from ruled from 931 to 910 B.C. A name they picked up because they were familiar with and all that. The history doesn't really show why it was named after that. And they've continued to name wine bottles after biblical characters simply because it's easy names and not ones that are used quite often now. And so it's just a continuing practice that has basically developed more so in the 1940s and has continued to this day.
Interesting.
So a little bit about bottles. I'm going to cover a little bit about bottles there and talk about a little thing about bottles. People are always wondering about things. And whenever I talk about bigger the bottle, the longer it's going to age, people always are curious about it. So I'm going to cover a little bit about bottles there and different sizes and all that.
Now, you're talking now. Okay, so we know the one is the wine in a box. These other large sizes, are they glass made? I mean, what are they?
Glass. Yeah, they're all glass. I've seen them all glass. I've never seen them any other materials or anything.
Wow.
I'm sure they can make them out of plastic PET now. I mean, polyurethane is probably possible now with the way they can do plastic and what they can do with it and all that. So I'm sure there is a possibility, but the only ones I've ever seen. The biggest one I have ever seen, it has been a Nebuchadnezzar. I've never seen a Moncora or a Sovereign. I've seen a Nebuchadnezzar, and the thing is that it's 20 bottles, and it's enormous. I mean, it's just when the thing's full, it's almost impossible to pick up. It almost requires two people.
So how do you get the wine out of there? I mean, it has to sit on its side, right?
It sets on its side as it's aging. There's a rack, a pour, carriage, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure there is a special name for it, and if there is, I apologize. I don't know what it is. But it sets on this metal swing thing. And as you're pouring, you actually swing it sideways, and it pours the wine into a container. Actually, it's best to decant that and then pour. You don't pour glass from this. You actually pour the wine into a decanter or some other container, and then you pour it into your glasses from there. But the ones I've seen are usually made of metal, and it has a door. You set the wine on it, and you close the door around it so the wine is actually secured inside it, and it swings back and forth at a central point in the bottle, and you can just tilt it and swing it down and pour your wine right out of it that way.
Wow.
Okay. It's sort of cool. It's sort of cool the way they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, those larger ones, you basically decant, and then you pour from there. You put them in another container, and you pour from there because it's not practical or easy to pour directly into a glass.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. I didn't realize there was that big of a size out there like that. That's amazing. I bet the bottles alone are worth quite a bit.
Probably, if you just, if you find one. Can you imagine how much you get for simple recycling?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That would be good. A good chunk of change there.
Good chunk of change just for one bottle.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Very good. Let me see. If you'd like to call in, and I can't tell, see, nobody's in, not in chat. Let's see if they came back here. Okay. The phone number to call in is area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All you have to do is dial that number with a regular phone, or you can use whatever you dial out with, and you'll get right on with us, and we'll be able to bring you on the air, and you can ask questions, and it's all about wine. And it is 7:35 now. So let's see what we have here. I'm trying to don't see anything on. Nobody on the switchboard yet. And only thing I'm missing on here is the live stats. I can't tell, you know, what who's how many people are out there tuning us in on this. We'll just based on last week, if they listened to last week, they're going to love this week.
Yeah, we're actually here this week as opposed to playing around last week for an hour.
Yeah, last week was a test. And actually, I think the week before that was a test.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, the week before last was, I don't know. I took that one down, but I left last week's up because it was, it was still good. Either way. Let's see, what else? Wow, that was a lot on just on bottles. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's so much about so many things in wine. It's just you can get yourself just overwhelmed with, studying stuff and all that. And that's, that's not even going into the wine itself. I mean, that's just, you're looking just...
Well, when you mentioned, how many chemicals and everything, there's like 100, 150 chemicals that goes into, I'm sure that's, I mean, you have to be a chemist to just to, before you even think about doing that.
To break them down, bottle of wine contains a lot of different chemicals, chemical compounds. And it's just natural fermentation, too. I mean, it's not something that we're going to say, okay, let's add a pinch of this and a drop of this and a grain of this. It's just... It's actually just as you are fermenting, you're going to get yourself a variety of different chemicals, and that's why people come in and they blame so often. People blame sulfites for what's a reaction that they might get. Most of the time, sulfites is not the culprit. I would say majority of time sulfites is not the culprit, but to say, okay, this is probably it. It's almost impossible because there are so many different things that will come out in fermentation.
Okay, so you're not sitting there mixing 150 things. It's just, like you said, the process of making the wine. It just happens that's what it does.
Right, so things you're going to have pop up in and on. And it's just, it's not a lot. It's not strong, it's not overpowering, but there are all these different things that are going to be, if you start breaking it down, if you start taking everything and break it down step by step, then you will find all these different chemicals that are in the glass of wine.
A lot happening.
yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Let me, I don't know what this ID segment. All right. Let me play something real quick, and we'll give you a little break here. Rest your voice. I got to take a sip of my plantation spice I still have. I have just a few drops actually left of that in the bottle, so I need to go ahead and finish that, and let's take a break real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Do it, and we do more of it.
Do what?
Music. Oh, special events. And talk about wine on Thursdays at 7 p.m. with Ron of the Florida Estates Winery. This is Chico Dog Live and Chico Dog FM. We're back with more Chico Dog Live, featuring Ron of the Florida Estates Winery in Lambda Lakes, Florida.
Yes, opened up another bottle. And we're back. Well, that was quick.
And
I didn't come up with like a 5-minute thing or something, I don't know, we'll think of something. But
do a potty break, they can't do it now with something that short.
Well, I could run the...
The opening 40, again?
45 minutes of the Odds and Ends show, April, from episode 17.
Yes.
I'll rerun episode 17.
Episode 17 for a few minutes.
All right. So
I have to share this with you. I am having tonight. My wine is a Zinfandel, but this is something. Every state in the nation makes wine. You can travel around the country and visit wineries in every state. There is the most, obviously, is in California. There's over 3,000 wineries in California. Number two is Washington. Number three is New York State. There's lots of wineries in lots of states. I mean, we're talking 150 of them in bonded wineries in Ohio. You're talking over 150 of them in Pennsylvania. Missouri has 130. It just, everywhere you go, you can find wineries. Well, I ask customers, people who come in to visit our family and friends, to bring me a wine from a different state. I want to try to get a wine from every state in the nation. So far, I have 43 states. I'm missing only 7 states from not completing the entire country. And we share the wines in the class. I don't just sit around giggling and drinking. We actually share them in the class when we have a class. Monthly. And in fact, just last Saturday we had a class, those 9 people in the class. Very nice class. It was a lot of fun. People were very good and had some good comments and all that. I always enjoy the classes because I always learn something from something that people bring up too. So it's always fun for me. And then the next class is coming up on the 20th of June, by the way. So that'll be something else we'll be bringing up on the program over the next couple of weeks. But I share the wine in the class, so it's not something that we just get in and just let there and go bad or drink it myself. But I had a wine from Nevada, and the bottle was a grapes that they had brought in from California. Well, it broke. The bottle had gotten broken, so I wrote the winery, and I explained to them that I was Ron Hunt with Florida State's Winery. I was trying to get a wine from every state and nation. I had received one of their wines. I had a customer bring me one of their wines, and it had broken. Could they possibly send me another one to replace it? And I said, I don't care what it was, anything, just as long as it's, you know, from your winery from Nevada. They sent me a Zinfandel from Nevada, which is the first harvest of a Zinfandel that has ever been planted and taken to maturity and used for wine in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Zinfandels have always been coming from California, and this is the first one from Nevada. Pahrump is the name of the winery.
Oh, yeah.
It is located in the Pahrump Hills of Pahrump Valley in western Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gorgeous wine. If they hear this on archives, or even if they're listening now, they can be very, very proud of themselves. They sent me a wine that is just absolutely gorgeous. It's got some great Zinfandel qualities in it, some great Zinfandel taste, good Zinfandel aroma. They did an excellent job on this wine. It's something that they can be very proud of. So if you are traveling the country or if you're out anywhere, be sure to stop in at local wineries, because there are some beautiful wines out there that some of these small wineries are different state wineries are making. You don't have to just stay with California or Washington, Oregon, New York, Pennsylvania. There's some gorgeous wines coming out of little known areas that you would never consider that would have a wine worth talking about. But this one is quite delicious.
Really. Yeah, I never would have imagined, you know, Nevada growing, you know, doing this actually, because I've actually been to Pahrump from outside of Las Vegas. It's southwest, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Really nice, really neat area of the country, but I would never imagine them, you know, much less a winery. I mean, the grapes and everything, that's incredible. And to put out such a good product, that's really good. That's wonderful.
I was surprised by it too. It really is a quite nice wine. So yeah, there's wineries everywhere. I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to go up to Kentucky and taste some wines up there in southern Ohio, and some really, really gorgeous wines coming out of the areas there, and wines in Missouri, Kansas, Iowa. I've had a chance to taste some of those, and And there's, I mean, of course, a lot of the areas make their sweet wines, but then some of the wineries and some of the winemakers decide to jump out and see what they can do with other stuff. And there's some actually beautiful wines coming from around the country. Something that we as a country can be proud of, some of the stuff that we're putting out in wines. It's just really...
It's great.
Really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just all from Europe.
No, definitely not. Not
we,
from Europe.
We can do wine. We can do wine in this country.
We can. Yes, we can.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Let's see. It's getting dark. Okay. I have two monitors going. I'm trying to see what I'm... Okay, so I'm on page 2 now of my notes.
Ah.
I don't know. I'm just... you never know. Did you have any anything? Okay, so coming up this weekend, then you have another wine fest.
We have another wine fest Saturday.
Okay, and that's 10 to 3.
The three. The winery's open until 6, though. But we're the wine fest is from 10 to 3. A variety of vendors got.
Dave is going to be back.
Dave will be back. Parkinson. We've got Avon. We've got jewelry, we've arts and crafts, all sorts of stuff there.
Tupperware. Yeah,
Tupperware. Thank you. You've got it in front of you. I don't.
I'm going. Well, I'm going down. I'm just like looking at some of the keywords here. What else? I don't know. Wind chimes, jewelry, CD clocks. That is Lori. Okay. Independent distributor for Premier Designs. And what else? There was something else that was... is Avon offering a free gift or something? Avon. Skin So Soft and other Avon products. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of neat vendors. And everyone remember, Father's Day is coming up June.
Okay.
Now's a good time to start looking for something for Dad. If not a bottle of wine, maybe something from one of the vendors. Dave, who makes some beautiful pens out of wood, just absolutely gorgeous pens.
He
has all sorts of woods from around the world, and he makes pens from. That would be a good gift, a bottle of wine and a pen. Wow, I hope my kids are listening today.
Yeah.
Bottle of wine and a pen.
Hint.
Hint. Yeah.
Very good.
But,
and you also take, and there was something that I don't think we've mentioned there, but you also... on the counter there, you donate money for charity.
Jars.
Yes,
tip jars.
There you go. Okay, that's another cool thing that you have there.
Yeah, we're really really proud of that too, and really happy with that. All the employees decided that we would not accept tips. Not that we are begging for, or looking for, or expect. We don't, but. Yeah, I mean, when they have tip jars sitting in McDonald's and at Burger King and at Dunkin' Donuts and all this stuff, you start wondering, you know, maybe, you know, but people do, you know, give us tips and every once in a while. And we decided that we would take all of our tips and put them toward one charity each month.
Mm-hmm.
And we've chosen different charities. This month happens to be Muscular Dystrophy Association, Jerry's Kids. And so we have a tips collecting for that. At the end of each month, I gather up all the tips and make a deposit just with that amount and then write a check to the charity, directly to the charity. And so we've got the deposits and the checks to show that it goes to them. It doesn't go, you know, for a party for us or anything like that, buying some expensive wine. It actually goes to the charity.
Yeah.
We collected for numerous ones over the months now. We started way back in October. We've not in particularly any particular order, but Breast Cancer Research, American Cancer Society, Alzheimer's Research, American Diabetes Association, Multiple Sclerosis.
Yeah, very good.
And others. I can't think of all of them, but
it changes every month.
Yes, every month we pick a new one, and all tips go to that. So it's a good thing. We're real happy. And with the economic times, you know, these charities are having a hard time too, and so it's helping them out a little bit and doing something for them. It's something we are very happy and very proud of that we're doing. So if you come in, You know, again, I'm not soliciting tips. I'm not requiring, requesting, or expecting, but the tip jar is there. If you feel inclined, then everything is appreciated and greatly thankful that you did give it to us. So.
Yeah, definitely. And so we have, let's see, May 30th, June 13th, and 27th is Wine Fest. And this weekend you have Angelo Cook is coming back.
Angelo, yeah, Angelo does a great job. He's been with us off and on for about 5.5, 6 years now, and he's always done a great job on it.
Okay.
He does weddings and all sorts of other events himself, but it's always nice to get him back to the winery. We had clarinetist, the saxophonist last week, who did a real nice job. It's always nice to have something different, and we're looking at getting some other type of musicians or something in. I get a lot of letters and cards from different people for stuff. Even had some guy who was a juggler wanted to come out. So.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting. And the wine class is June 20th, the next one. And you cover all kinds of topics during the wine class. And there is a small fee for it. It's three hours? 3 hours?
3 hour class.
Wow. Okay.
Usually starts at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. If you can't make it on a Saturday afternoon, you want to class another time, get 5 people for the same time, I'll put on a class. I don't care when it is. If you want to do a class in the evening on a Sunday or whatever, get 5 people together. We will do a class for 5 people at any time that's convenient for you. $25 in advance, $30 at the door. Similar classes run close to $100. I've checked prices on them. So what you're covering, similar classes are.
And that includes wine tasting and sampling and everything?
Includes samples of all the wines. We talk about a variety of stuff, diseases, glasses, varietal, vintage, oak aging, the 100-point scoring system. You go into wine shops and you see the 100-point scoring system setting on the underneath the bottles. We teach you how they come about that score and how to score yourself. We have some surprises for you. We have snacks. You get to keep the glass. We have a lot of fun. It's a fun class. I've always enjoyed teaching it. I've always had a good time with it and all that. And like I said earlier, I always learn something. The people in the class always tend to bring up something, and we discuss things that as a group they've taught me things over the years doing this.
Oh, that's
pretty cool. Always fun.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds like it. Lastly, there was also you have a newsletter that you put out, and that's you can subscribe on the website. I didn't give the website address or the email address earlier, or the phone number, come to think of it.
You're right.
Yeah, I need to cover that. And I was just going down this week's newsletter, and I was looking at your wine investment advice. I thought that was that was really interesting. You know? I was looking at that and go, oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
A little tongue-in-cheek, but it was fun.
it's really cool. So you get all kinds of information in the newsletter. It tells you all about the winery, the events going on at the winery, like the Wine Fest. You also have about the donations, the tip jar. You also have the schedule of events coming up, and then you have recipes, which are really cool. What was this one?
Stuffed mushrooms.
Appetizer. Yeah, appetizer for stuffed mushrooms. That's really cool. So you have those every letter, and then you had the wine fact. I didn't notice that before, but I went down and I go, oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, I'll put a wine fact. Sometimes the wine fact's a little long, but I'll put a wine fact in. And if anybody has any suggestions for something I can cover, by all means, let me know. I'll get information out there to you if you have something that's not sure. I ran a series last summer on port. A lot of people, since we do have our strawberry port, which, by the way, is absolutely delicious, I'm very proud of it. But we have a lot of people want to serve my port, ask what port is and where it came from. And so I ran a series on port last summer, and it was an 8-part series telling you all about port and everything. And I'm always curious if anybody ever listened or anybody ever reads any of that stuff. But actually, I had quite a few people come in and said they enjoyed it, and it was very informative. And some people told me that they actually archived the section on port for reference and stuff. So There's some, you know, even if I do say so, there's some interesting stuff that I try to pass on to you, things that'll
definitely interesting.
Throw out some information and make people go, ooh, you know.
And if you're looking to start a wine investment, do that at Florida State's winery.
Yes.
Sounds good.
It's a good
place to invest in. Let's see. I just took another sip of the plantation spice. You know, I'm trying to drink it slow now because that's it.
You're probably done, yeah.
Florida State's winery located at 25241 State Road 52. For those of you with GPSs, you can go, that's in Land O'Lakes, 25241 State Road 52, Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is right off of Interstate 75, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52.
8 miles east. Also on your GPS, if you're punching GPS, I'm finding out that some of the GPS, if you punch in the address, it has no idea where to send you. You have to punch in Florida Estates Winery.
Oh, okay.
And it'll guide you to it by punching in Florida Estates Winery. But addresses don't work.
Yeah, that's we get that sometimes where my normal job is. They come in like not a secret entrance, but it's an entrance that normal people don't normally go into, and they say, well, I followed my GPS, and this is where it took me. We're sitting there going, okay, not here. So it doesn't always work, but, you know, if you're on I-75, it's real simple. Exit 285 and head west, and then you'll see the signs. It's past the Bellamy Brothers Boulevard Road, Boulevard Road, the little neon cowboys there on the corner. You go past that a little ways, and
it's like, past that.
2 miles past that. Very good. Oh, yeah, I didn't know how far that was. Or if you're coming from the Suncoast Parkway, US 41, US 19, go east on 52, and you'll see the signs there. And, real easy. A lot of parking. There's plenty of parking. So if you have an event, if you have any kind of special things you want to do at the winery, contact them, and they'll be more than happy to help you out there. It's plenty of parking for your function, for your event.
Red Hat groups out there, meetings, anything like that. 21 miles from 19 straight west, or straight east from the winery, straight west. Straight east, 21 miles from 19.
Okay, I didn't realize. I had 10 and a half miles, but I don't remember. That must have been Suncoast Parkway.
That's Suncoast.
Right. Okay. All right. And your phone number?
Phone number, area code 813-996-2113.
Very good.
And our website, www.floridaestateswines, FloridaEstateswines.com. And our email, corp at FLUN@FLEWN.com. And FLUN is Florida State Winery. If you think about it, it's very easy there. It's not just some strange word. So corp@FLUN.com. And if you have any questions or anything, or anything you want to get a hold of us, by all means, email or call or anything. I answer, and we get on there and try to respond to all the emails. And even had somebody email me if we could handle a nudist group. And I said, as long as I don't have to take off my clothes and we'll do it after closing, no problem. So.
You know, I had to do that when I was in a charter bus. I used to drive a charter bus for a few years. And we actually picked up over at one of the resorts over here. And as soon as they got in the bus, they said, is it all right if we take our clothes off? And I go, you do what you do, but stay behind the line. And I drove them all the way to from up here in from Lutz. All the way to, I think it was Miami
wow.
or Fort Lauderdale. They were going on, apparently the whole ship it's a nude cruise.
Oh.
So once they got dressed at the port, then they got off the bus, they went, did their thing, got on the ship, and then I guess it was a clothing optional ship. So, and they went out, and it was interesting. Anyway.
I don't know.
That'll be interesting here at the winery.
I haven't heard from them, but, it's Well, totem, you know, we can do you after closing, and you know, as long as I'm not required to get nude, I can I can handle that. But,
all right. Let's see. I guess did you have anything else you wanted to add or anything?
No,
else
not today. We'll talk about next week. Let's talk about some more grapes. We had a short history of the Merlot. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Chardonnay. Chardonnay is really a nice grape. It's an interesting grape. It's grown just about everywhere in the world, made in all sorts of styles. There's a movement now, the ABC movement, anything but Chardonnay. You know, some people are trying to get away from the Chardonnay, but it's a lot of fun. It's a fun grape. It's easy to grow a lot of places, and you can make it and just about anything, and Chardonnay goes with just about everything on your table. So we'll talk about Chardonnay next week. We'll talk about the grape and how it compares with other foods and stuff like that.
Excellent. We'll do that next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m., same time on the chat.
We will be here at 7 because we know how to do this now.
Yes, I think this is going to work.
I think so.
This was good. Now watch, I'll go back and listen to the archive and it's all silent.
Oh, I mean, no.
I hear you. You hear me, but are they hearing us? So that'll be the next thing. But
that's the question. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
That could be why nobody's calling in.
Yeah, it's kind of. I don't see anybody else in chat. No. Not yet. Okay. Well, that'll do it for this week then. And tune in next week. Actually, I've had some people listening to the replay. We have a replay going on the music stream. That was the segment on wine labels.
Oh.
And I think what would be good is if I could, and I'm still trying to do this, is to mix the two so that this audio that we're doing here goes out over that side, but it's on a different computer, and that's going to be a little work on that. But once I can do that, then we'll just do the live show on both, and that'll work out pretty good. Okay, so tune in next week, and we'll see everybody and more next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you, Ron. It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate it. And everybody else, check out the winery online. We have that information coming up in our closing music segment and more. So we'll see you all. Thank you for listening.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. We're back with more Chico Dog Live, featuring Ron of the Florida Estates Winery in Lambda Lakes, Florida.
Thank you to Air Media and RadioDaddy.com for their release of free effects, bumpers, and radio imaging pieces. Also, a very special thank you to Ron Hunt, winemaker, cellar master, tasting expert with the Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. If you would like to be a guest on the program, please contact me on the websites. We are on MySpace at www.myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That is DAWG and the number 1. Or on the regular blog at ChicoDog.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Twitter.com/MikeWCFL. That's WCFL as in Wesley Chapel, Florida. If you have comments, show ideas, or just want to let us know you're listening, please do so. We welcome your feedback. You can email us at podcast@chicodog.com. All the details are on our MySpace page. Be a part of the show. Tell your friends and family to join us as well. We'll see you next time on Chico Dog Live. From Wesley Chapel, Florida, on behalf of everyone behind the scenes, I'm Mike, and thank you for listening.
The preceding broadcast of Chico Dog Live is available on iTunes as a free download or available in our archives.
Oh, that was quick. Okay, there's 26 minutes left in the recording, but we're going to go ahead and end it. And I just want to make sure, because I thought the website address and everything was in there, but it wasn't. You want to go contact Florida Estates Winery on State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes. The phone number again is 813-996-2113. That's the Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. You can email them. The email address is corp@floon.com, F-L-E wn.com, or for the information, photos, and everything on the winery. This is great. Go to the website. It's www.floridaestateswines.com. W-I-N-E-S at the end there. Wines is plural. .com. Check them out. Open daily 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. They do conducted tastings, retail sales. They have a gift shop there for all kinds of items for all your needs there. You can also, if you have a group, contact them because they're really cool to work with, and they can handle groups. There's plenty of parking out there for your group, and there's a lot of space out there. It's great. It's a lot of shade underneath the canopy of oak trees, and they're situated on 3,600 acre working plantation. So check it out. Most major credit cards are accepted when they get fixed, and they're closed major holidays. Picnics are welcome. Check them out. Florida Estates Winery. Thanks to Ron. Appreciate it. And this was an excellent show. It started at 7 o'clock this time, and that's a great time. So we'll see you next week on Chico Dog FM. That closes the show for this week.